Good morning. Today's scripture is out of Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Shalom.
Appreciate Tim reading that passage of Colossians. We're continuing in our theme out of Psalm 51. This is our last Sunday looking at Psalm 51, and today looking at another area that often gets us stuck. When we do that prayer, as we did in the song today, thank you, Jenny, Zaldi, team. Thank you for guiding us in that prayer of creating in us a clean heart. We talked at the very beginning of the series, yeah, about how it is that God's desire is to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that sense of bringing forgiveness into us for the sins in our life that get in our way, that separate us from that feeling of closeness to God. And as we've gone on through this series, we've talked about creating in us not just a clean heart, but also renewing in us a right spirit, that ability for us to feel that right connection with God, something that brings life to us, not just the ho-hum, not just the weak and the drab and the colorless, but something that brings a sense of vitality to our life because of the presence of the God of the universe at work within us. Today we're going to be looking at our final step in this series, and it's entitled today, Getting Unstuck, because we're going to be looking at something that gets a lot of us stuck in that wasteland of our spiritual lives, where we get to that place and it feels like nothing's going on. Oftentimes it is things that happen around us that cause this to us, but it's what happens in us, what begins to grow within us, that creates this wrong spirit within us. Before I jump into Colossians 3, as Tim read for us, I want to read a passage out of Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 says this, and it says it in a beautiful way. In the Living Bible, it says this, "Look after each other so that not one of you will fail to find God's best blessings. Watch out that no bitterness takes root among you, for as it springs up, it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives." So today we're going to be talking about this thing called bitterness, or this thing which kind of drives bitterness, anger. We're going to be talking about what that does to us and why it's so difficult for us and how it affects our spiritual life. You say, well, that's just me physically. That's just me emotionally. That shouldn't affect my spirit, but it does. And that's why in the letter of Hebrews there it says, for this deep trouble has caused much hurting in their spiritual lives because of the bitterness that often grows within our heart. You know, we live in a time where anger is all around us, isn't it? You watch TV, you see anger. You go on Facebook, you see anger. You go on the internet, you see anger. You go out into your neighborhood and your community, you see anger. You get on the road and you see anger. You know, they are calling this, and I've seen where many of the news outlets are beginning to describe this time of life that we're living in, and they're referring to it as an epidemic of anger. It's not just you and it's not just me. It's all around us. There is something that is beginning to happen in response to this epidemic of anger, and it's called the spread of the rage room. Have you heard this? You haven't. It's on TV. People are talking about it. They got shows about it. You can read it in newspapers, articles, in magazines all around. The rage room is becoming all the rage. There are hundreds of them across the country and around the world spread out in many of the cities in our nation. We've got one within 30 miles of us, folks. You didn't know it? My gosh. This is our latest answer to the anger problem that we have. All you have to do is go to one of these rage rooms, right? Lay down a little cash. Yeah, lay down a little cash. They will give you then a smashing tool, probably a baseball bat, set you in a room for X amount of time with all these things that you can bust up and you have at it. Just get it out of your system. Now, you're going to think I'm making this up. This is not made up. I was looking at one of these rage rooms, and these are some of their options. They have the Anarchy package. It costs $100 per person. It includes all your protective gear as well as your baseball bat or whatever it is you want to use. It includes 30 glass items and 5 pieces of electronic equipment. I'm going today. Yes, you're going today. I can see it's only for $100. Michael, I'm going to make some money. I should get some royalties on this or something, you know? Yeah. Come on, he'll give you a hammer. He'll give you a, yeah, he'll give you a sledgehammer. Yes. Okay, Tim. Okay, yeah, we'll have Tim's rage room. You can make a little cash on the side. I know. Yeah, half price. Yeah. Hey, but if $100 is a little too much for you, they have another option. It's called the Fury Package. Okay? And this is for only $60 a person. This is kind of introductory. You get 18 glass items and 2 pieces of electronics to go in and just wail on. Okay? This is going to help. But this is my favorite. The Rageapalooza. Now, the Rageapalooza Party Package. You guys think I'm making this up. This is the real deal. The Rageapalooza Party Package. You can take up to 20 of your old, 20 of your angry friends with you. You have a 2-hour private rage room event. So you have it for a whole 2 hours with your 20 best angry friends. They give you 800 breakable glass items. They give you tractor tires and metal barrels to include in the smashing. For the price of $1,200. What a bargain. We need a rage room here. That'll be, yeah, forget the fireworks. Let's go with a rage room. There may be too much rage. You guys are getting into this a little too much. You know, it sounds like fun, doesn't it? Yeah, I don't know. But does it help? That's my question. It is the rage. People are making money, and there's a thing going on because we recognize there's something wrong within us. There is this anger we don't know what to do with. We can't get rid of it. And so we say, hey, this is what you do. You go work it out. You go bust stuff up. And people say, okay, I'll do that. I'll try that. But does it work? Does it do any good? You know, a lot of the articles or the TV shows you see that talk about this talk about other attempts we have to try to find a sense of peace in the midst of all the anger that we have. You know, and maybe, you know, they mention a lot of different ways to try to help us, you know, take some time, relax to some calm music, or maybe take up yoga because that'll help, you know, kind of calm yourself. Maybe work on some deep breathing exercises or always count to 10 before you react to something. Now, that's helpful. But none of those articles or those shows, they may even talk about busting stuff up and paying money to go to a rage room, but none of them offer what I think is really the only true solution to any of this. We're going to talk about that today. In Ephesians 4:26, this is a familiar passage to many of us. It reminds us to, in our anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So the Bible tells us that even if we feel anger, we should not let it sin, and we should not let it dwell within us, because when it dwells within us, it begins to do something. It causes that bitterness that we were talking about to grow. And so what we need to do is figure a way out. The Bible says don't do it, but this part doesn't really tell us how not to. But it does tell us that when we allow that anger to dwell within us, when we hold on to that anger, when we don't deal with that anger, what are we doing? We are giving the devil a foothold in our life. We are giving the devil an opportunity to do something within our spiritual connection with God that diminishes our spiritual connection with God. And then as we live in this anger, as we allow this bitterness to grow, and we don't even know why, but we just feel that sense of unease that's all around us, and we don't know what to do with it, but we know that it feels like God has grown distant from us. And many, many people in this epidemic of anger era that we're living feel that sense of disconnect. They may have a walk with Jesus, but it seems disconnected because of the anger and the rage, the bitterness that grows within us. So how do we begin to undo this bitterness problem? All of us get hurt. Let's be honest. Even in this verse, it tells us in your anger. It's not saying if you get angry. It says in your anger, all of us are going to get hurt. And when we get hurt, we become angry. That's a natural human thing. That's not the problem. But when we fail to forgive, when we fail to forgive the others that are causing that anger becomes bitterness, it becomes resentment. We become bitter and not better. And so this becomes the challenge for us in that renewing the right spirit to recognize and to allow for this forgiveness to begin to flow. I can say that because I know all of us have got things that we need to forgive. All of us. Because none of us get through this life without people wounding us, disappointing us. You know, where we've been wronged or wounded, where we have been abused or betrayed. There's always going to be things, and we can say we have forgiven, but sometimes we need to go back around and say, you know, I'm still holding on to that. That is still affecting me today, even though it happened to me 20 years ago. There is still something going on that continues to have a hold on me, a power over me. There's a smoldering in me that I don't even understand. And every little reminder brings it all back up again. Or maybe we don't even recognize what it's doing, but it's moved underground. It's gone subconscious for all of us. And somehow that bitterness grows and it begins to affect the other relationships and really everything else in our life. And all of a sudden, we feel, again, disconnected from God. We feel separated from those around us. We feel just unsettled constantly because of this ongoing problem with the anger that has come into our lives. We need a way to work this out. And I'm going to guarantee here, as much fun as it might be and as much money as we might make, the rage room is not the answer. It is forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is hard, okay? Anyone here find forgiveness easy? Forgiveness is hard, and the reason it's hard is because it's not natural for us as humans. Forgiveness is actually miraculous because it has to be done with the help of God, because otherwise we don't do it naturally. Forgiveness is hard, but you know what is harder? Living a life of unforgiveness. You don't want to choose that one. It's better to go down the path seeking forgiveness, no matter how difficult it may be, to begin to walk this out. In Colossians 3, the passage that Tim read for us today, again, just to bring your attention to it. Notice what Paul says here. He says, bear with each other. And again, he is not even pretending to say, oh, the body of Christ is going to be filled with perfect people. It's not. The body of Christ is going to be filled with broken people like all of us. And broken people sometimes break people. But we are to bear with each other and to forgive one another. If any of you has grievance against someone, to forgive as the Lord forgave you. You know, this idea that we are called to forgive, and again, as difficult as it is, this is the key. First off, is that we are called to forgive because, did you see in the passage here? We are called to forgive because we are a forgiven people. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. There is something here that as those who have received God's forgiveness, that there is something in our heart which needs to begin to change. And if forgiving somebody else is too difficult for you, then ask the one who gave forgiveness to you to help you with extending forgiveness to them. This is all rooted up in our walk with Jesus. When we say, God, you are my Savior, but also my Lord, means I'm going to follow you in your ways. And his ways were forgiving all of us. So we are too to walk in those ways. And we are called to be a forgiving people. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Again, the idea that it is hard to forgive, but it's harder to not forgive. You know, research has shown that consistently, all of us that consistently hold on to this chronic anger, that it leads to high blood pressure, it leads to headaches, it leads to serious digestion problems, it leads to heart issues, it even leads to skin disorders. How weird our body is. Not only does it affect the quality of life, but it'll affect the length of our life as well. So we are given this option. This is something that we are called to do. And we have to do it. We have to do it. You know, what are the excuses? What are the reasons why we don't want to forgive? Anyone want to throw one out? I'll shoot it down. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm kidding. I won't. Elisha. What's that? Pride. Okay, yes. I want to hold on to what is mine. And what is mine is that anger against somebody else. I'm going to hold on to it because I deserve it. It's mine. Pride holds us back. Okay? Sometimes it is that, anybody else? Jealousy. Fear. Fear. Fear of, yeah, okay. What's that? It's too painful. I don't want to even go there. Thinking that that's going to help. Revenge. Oh, thank you. Because we want that, don't we? There's something in our minds that cries out for justice. And when we've been wounded, it feels natural to want to wound in return. That is part of how we are wired. It's part of our brokenness, but it's also part of our cry for justice. But again, forgiving as He forgave us is setting a different pattern for us. And it requires that we go to God to say, God, help me with this because I can't do it on my own. I'm wired for revenge. I'm not wired for forgiveness. But being wired for revenge is going to lead me into all these problems, all these things, the headaches, the heartaches, the stomach aches, all the stuff is going to come because I'm wired in a way that's going to cause me more pain. And Jesus says, I want a better way for you. I want to renew that right spirit within you. You know, sometimes we give ourselves the excuse, well, I would forgive them if they would apologize. Anyone ever say that? Don't wait for them to apologize. Why? Because they may never apologize. They may never see the damage they've done. They may never be sorry for it. And you're not doing it for them anyway. You're doing it for yourself. To say, I'm going to set myself free from what has been done to me. That is how it goes. So what is forgiveness? Well, a couple of things it's not. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Actually, remembering and being able to forgive is an important factor in this. But it is not forgetting what was done. It's not denying the hurt that was done. And it's not excusing that wrong behavior. Just because you say, I'm going to forgive this person who hurt me doesn't mean I'm excusing that wrong behavior. I'm not condoning it. I'm not approving it. I am simply saying I am going to forgive it so it no longer has power over me. So here's a couple things which it is. Forgiveness is letting go of that claim to anger. That's where that pride piece comes in. We think we are justified. We should be able to hold on to it. I was the one who was wrong, so I should be able to hold it. But it's just holding what's going to hurt yourself. I don't forgive other people. We shouldn't forgive other people because they deserve forgiveness. We should forgive other people because we deserve. Because we were forgiven when we didn't deserve it either. Okay, forgiveness is also an opportunity for us to heal. And again, it may feel like a scary path, it may feel like a difficult path, but it is an opportunity for us to heal. And finally, what it does, it removes that spiritual barrier, that idea of renewing the right spirit gets removed, and that right spirit can begin to be redone. Freedom comes through forgiveness. It may be difficult, but it is how we begin to get our lives back. So create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Needs to be our prayer. How is it that we do that? Maybe if anger is that issue that is standing in the way today, if that bitterness is there and that's deep-seated and you don't think it can ever be gone, then today we're going to pray over that. We're going to begin a new process of allowing God to set you free through this gift of His called forgiveness. So, Father, we look to you today and we pray that you would begin to do a work in us that we cannot do ourselves. We thank you, God, for your forgiveness of our sins. We thank you, God, that you have promised to create in us clean hearts, forgiven, with that sin removed. But for all of the lingering stuff that gets stuck to us because of the pain and the hurt and the wounds that have been inflicted upon us, Father, for all those that we hold, for all of those that have wounded us and that we hold accountable for those hurts, for that anger which continues to be held and continues to be stoked, for that bitterness which continues to grow and continues to find ways of leaking out or blowing up on those around us. Father, I pray that you would help us in that process of being set free. Thank you for your forgiveness to us. And Father, give to us the grace of being able to let it go, to find a sense of forgiveness, of being able to overcome that which has been holding us back. Father, for freedom through forgiveness, we all pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let us all stand. As we conclude this service, let's all proclaim our God's love.
Mercy, come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. With open arms, for God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well, I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved, God so loved the world. Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him for the wonders of his love. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him for the wonders of his love, his amazing love. For God so loved the world that he gave us, and one and only son to save. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only son to save us. Whoever believes in him who live forever. For the power of hell, forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved, God so loved the world. We are your failures, we are your addictions. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting, God so loved the world.
You know, there's not much better news than that right there, that God so loved the world and for all of us. And I want to say just a real special thanks to all of you guys for being here today. Glad to have you here. I want to do a couple of things real quick before we go. One, I want to say, make a quick introduction. I should have done this at the beginning. But we've got Joe and Rosa who are here today all the way from Manila, Philippines. Yeah. And if that's not special enough, it's because they are. How about that? So, Jenny, glad to have your folks here visiting with you, celebrating Lay's graduation as well. Congratulations, Lay. If you get a chance to give Lay a hug for her graduation, that's the least you can give her. At least give her a hug today. Emma, congratulations on her graduation. If you see her, congratulate her. Any other graduates in the place, go ahead and give them a little bit of extra love today. But how good it is to be together. God, we thank you again. What a blessing today has been. We thank you for the goodness that this day still has to open up for us. God, I thank you for the path of freedom that you're beginning for many on this day. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be the one who guides not only our steps, but also empowers us to make those steps, to begin to find this new path that maybe is beyond our normal, it's outside of our routine, but it is the way that you desired for us and designed us to live and to walk. So God, help us today. In Jesus' name, amen.